Good morning, Friendly Avenue.
Good morning.
Well, I was going to introduce myself, but yes, my name is Glaston. So, and I'm not the preacher. So if there was any question about that, but I am a member here. Me and my wife have been here, you know, living, loving, and learning with you guys for the better part of 10 years now. We are faithful members of the, I call it the East Side Church of Christ, my left, your right. You know, the fellowship that we've had with everyone here, we definitely have enjoyed it. And just by the fact that you guys called my name out, it kind of made me feel pretty good to know that it goes a little bit further than the East Side. So I just want to, you know, thank Jason for encouraging me to stand up here today. This is not something that I do. He did reach out to me and he asked me, and I told him that I was not interested. And but he continued to encourage me, and we talked about it, and here I am. And I do want to thank him for it, and I'm kind of glad he's not here. He has a way of, when you're up here, he makes faces and stuff like that if you make direct eye contact, so I don't have to worry about that this morning. But, you know, I definitely want to thank the elders. I've been encouraged a great deal from you all, and, you know, the members in general, you know, making me feel comfortable enough to, you know, even be able to stand up here today. I mean, it has a lot to do with you guys, and, you know, I wouldn't do it if I wasn't comfortable. So I appreciate it. I see a few smiles right now. I hope they stay on your faces. So I certainly can't not say how much I appreciate the support of my wife, April. She's, you know, encouraged me to do this too, and definitely helped me along the way as I prepared. And I think the only person that I know anyway, maybe other than Jason, that would see me doing something like this is my mom. She would call me regularly with notes for a sermon that I was not going to preach. But she was consistent, and here I am. And I don't have any of those notes, but I do have some notes. And, you know, what I chose for a topic today, I feel certainly resonates with me, and I hope it resonates with you as well. You know, worst, work, rest, and reward. You know, and that, to me, that's the answer to a question that I have, and I always have, and I'm sure that all of us as Christians have. Is God pleased with me? You know, it's important, certainly, for us. You think about your childhood, and you want to make your earthly parents proud. You want them to feel good about what you've done and what you're doing and the direction you're going. You know, all of this has to be personal for me to be able to stand here and do this. And I think about my oldest daughter, and her thing that I remember her saying to me all the time was, "Daddy, are you so proud of me?" I mean, no matter what it was, the simplest thing, from the potty training to kindergarten and on through. Obviously, at some point, that changes, and I'm dealing with that now with my youngest daughter. She's starting school, and, you know, what Daddy thinks is not as important, but, you know, as children of God, that's something, you know, that I know that we're all thinking about. And just by virtue of us being here this morning is something that's on our mind. You know, the question, you know, not only is God pleased with me, you know, but, you know, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And I chose that scripture this morning in Ephesians chapter 2 to get us to that point. You know, this, you know, my thought is that this will be this lesson, my time up here, will be an encouragement, you know, to us all. You know, we're talking about doing some work, we're talking about getting some rest, and we're talking about the reward. And, you know, I think it's very clear, and we all know that God has some work for us to do. So to those who are maybe not as involved as they could be, I want to encourage you. For those who are involved, I want to thank you, and I want to encourage you, and I want us all to consider what the reward is for us, not just heaven, which is awesome to think about, but there are some other things that, you know, while we're in service, while we're working, that, you know, we can enjoy as Christians. So, you know, that's where I'm trying to go, and I pray that y'all can come along with me. Scripture verse I want to start off with and focus on is verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I don't, you know, when I read that and I see that, you know, we are created for good works and God prepared them in advance, I feel like there's something a little more specific than just the general you know, good works that we think about, the, you know, the helping somebody cross the street, or if it's raining outside, lending somebody an umbrella so they don't get wet, or, you know, just, you know, picking up trash, moving the pews around, or, you know, when it's, when we're having an event at the church. I feel like there's more to it, you know, that God's created us for good works and prepared them in advance for us to do. You know, in James 2, it says that, you know, faith without works is dead, and I don't think anybody in here, you know, would think that, you know, there is no work involved as a Christian. So, but again, the question being, you know, what is it, you know, more, maybe more, a little more specifically, that God has prepared for me to do? Thinking about that, I also look over in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when it talks about the parts of the body and God has arranged us in different places and, you know, different parts, and I'm not the ear and you're not the eye. And, you know, the Bible is clear that it says that God has arranged the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. So when I, in my mind, when I put those two verses together, it's clear to me that, you know, the work that is to be done by us individually is not something in general. I do believe that, you know, we are being prepared. We have been prepared to do something that specific. And what is that? What is that thing that, you know, we should be doing that's going to make our Heavenly Father proud? And, you know, that statement that's made in Matthew, you know, well done, you know, my good and faithful servant, you know, come enter into your master's happiness. I mean, I have to believe that everyone here would like to hear those words, you know, when your name is called. And so, again, the question being, you know, what is it that's unique for me that I can do? And, you know, talking about the body parts, you know, and again, the Bible is clear that the eye is not the ear and the ear is not the nose. So, you know, I do believe that we have special roles that we are able to do. And I think it's based on our experience. You know, in Ephesians, again, chapter 2, it talks about, you know, verses 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires, thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. You know, I think that's in there in Ephesians for a reason. It's given us our history. It's not random. That's our history. Those of us who have named the name of Christ, those of us who are calling ourselves Christians, that is our history. At some point, you know, we were dead in our sins, being disobedient, gratifying those sinful cravings. You know, those all experiences are, you know, I wouldn't think any of us would call them positive, but it's still part of who we are. And to think about, you know, what is it that you can specifically do right now that might be different from anybody else. I think you have to consider what those experiences are, the good and the bad. You know, I grew up in the church I attended, South England Street Church of Christ, and they had a thing that I think is great. You know, looking back at it now, I definitely think it was great, but when it was going on, maybe not so much. They called it the Youth Sunday, and every fourth Sunday of the month, a young man would have to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, and you were not allowed to bring the Bible up to you for communion. You had to memorize it. There was no option given. And the church was, you know, probably about this size, maybe a little bit smaller. Some Sundays a little bit bigger, but you could imagine the anxiety that, you know, 12-year-old little boy would feel standing up, having to recite those verses, knowing that when and if you messed up, you had your buddies standing beside you that would not let you hear the end of it for the next month or so. So, you know, but again, that, and there's certainly, you know, some feelings of anxiety right now. Again, this is not, I'm not the preacher here, but that's part of what, you know, maybe got me ready to be able to do something like this. You know, it wasn't too far-fetched, you know, in my mind to be able to stand here because of that experience that I had, you know, so long ago. And even, you know, in my professional life, you know, I've been called on to give presentations and stuff like that. And, you know, the guy that was next to me who was, you know, had a part in the presentation, he wasn't feeling very well about it. I mean, soaking wet, sweating, hand shaking, and, just nervous as all get out. And I looked at them and I asked them, you know, what was wrong. It was only, you know, maybe 15 people that we were going to be talking to. And he said he hadn't had any experience, you know, speaking in public. And I thought about it. I was like, well, I guess I haven't either, other than, you know, at church. So, you know, I can, you know, being able to pull back on those past experiences. And obviously that's a positive experience. And Ephesians 2:1-3, it describes some stuff that's not so positive. And I could go into those as well. But again, my wife and my mother are here and I don't want to tell too much. But, you know, the good and bad experiences together help mold us and prepare us for what's next. And I truly believe we need to understand that and, you know, try to tap into that. You might hear people sometimes talk about how they've been through something or they did something and they don't feel like they have anything to offer, or they were just such a bad person and you know, what they did was just totally unforgivable. But, you know, as Christians, we can look at those people and talk to them about Peter, you know, how he went the wrong way and Jesus encouraged him. It's like, listen, after you have been tried and you're going to fail, I want you to return and strengthen your brothers. We can certainly talk about Paul, and we all, you know, the story of Paul, how he turned from persecuting the church to being, you know, the biggest advocate for the church. So, you know, the work, you know, that we have to do that's specific for us, we can take those experiences and use them for whatever it is that the Lord has for us next. And definitely, I mean, to be clear, I definitely, you know, I'm aware, as we all are, that there are a lot of people here doing some good stuff. And those people should be applauded and rewarded and acknowledged, and, you know, you should have banquets and everything for the people that are leading ministries and doing their part. I think we all can say, and we're all sure, that there are still some of us who are maybe not doing all that we could, maybe not doing all that we should. And, you know, the opportunity to step up, you know, is what we're talking about right now and trying to encourage, you know, everybody to consider. So the question could very well be, you know, where do we get started? I don't know if I don't even know where we are. I'm sorry. But where do you get started? You know, I want you to consider in Matthew chapter 25. Just some, you know, again, just doing a good work. I mean, you have to, obviously, you have to start somewhere. And I'm going to start reading verse 35. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. So the encouragement there, church, is, you know, the opportunities to serve are here. You know, being hungry, being thirsty, being hospitable. I mean, those are things that we can, needs of people that can be addressed. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to try some of those things. I mean, visiting someone who's sick, visiting someone who's in prison. You know, and I'm not saying that it might not be your thing, you know, but again, to try to find out what it is that you are meant to do, what makes you, you know, what you can excel at, what the Lord has for you. Those are good places to start. And everyone is not, you know, good at everything. I mean, the hospitality thing is, you know, that's not for everybody. I mean, and I don't know that makes you a bad person because that's not where you excel. But you have to try to see where it is that you excel. I mean, I definitely think that you learn what you can do sometimes by learning what you can't do. You know, everyone's not good at visiting people in, you know, hospitals. I mean, I would not, you know, I'd love you and I would come visit you, but it would probably be quick because I don't know what to say. I mean, in that type of setting, I just want to ask you, how are you doing? And I probably know the answer to that, and it might not be anything that you know, would be uplifting or upbuilding, but I know for me, that's not my strong suit. Now, I could say for myself, I mean, visiting somebody in prison, I probably could do that. I mean, I don't think that would be something that would bother me, and There might not even be surprised in the summer you in here. There might be something I could go and do, but that's something that I could see myself talking to those people and being able to get some sort of rapport. So, but again, that comes from learning about yourself, you know, going out there and trying some stuff and seeing what you can do and understanding also what you can't. You think about Galatians 6:10 and what it says to us. I don't know if anybody, that's one of my favorite verses that I feel like may get overlooked sometime when we're talking about what we as the church can do for people. And Galatians 6:10 tells us that when the opportunity arises, you know, you should do good to all people, especially those who belong to the church. And I don't know if anybody else feels like that gets overlooked, but I do feel like there's opportunities, you know, here in this building. You don't have to go, I mean, and everything's good. I'm not saying that going outside the building to encourage somebody or visit somebody or feed people and stuff like that is not positive. But, you know, in Galatians 6:10, I read it as saying, especially to those who belong to the church. So you don't have to go outside of these walls to find opportunities to work and serve and to make the Lord proud and, you know, feeding opportunities. I'd say right now that most people in here, if you're like me, I rarely eat breakfast on Sunday morning. So when church is over, it's time to go to lunch. So there's an opportunity right there for anybody who's looking to get started. Take your brother to lunch. I would not be opposed to it. I encourage it. And that goes for others. I'm sure I'm not the only one who skipped lunch this morning. So, but just keep it in mind, you know, another thing that may get overlooked by some of us who are not getting as involved as we should is, you know, the opportunity to volunteer. You know, being a helper. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that can be understated at all. You know, one of my stories that I like in the Bible that demonstrates that pretty good would be the story of Moses and the battle of the Amalekites. You know, we all know who Moses is. Moses was the leader. You know, I don't know if you know the story or not, but Joshua, you know, was a soldier. He was a general. And Aaron and Hur, they were guys in this particular story that were in support. So, you know, as the story goes, I'm not going to flip over there and read it, but as the story goes, Battle of the Amalekites, Joshua was asked to lead the army of Israel in a fight, and Moses was to take his staff and go on the mountain. And when his staff was raised, the Israelite army was successful. When Moses grew tired, his arms dropped, the Amalekite army was successful. So Aaron and Hur took it upon themselves to help. And they were in support in this particular story. You know, they found a rock and set Moses on a rock, and they stood on either side of him, holding his arms up so that the staff stayed in the air and that the Israelite army was successful. And I would ask, you know, in that scenario, which character in this is not playing a vital role? I think support people in the Lord's church are very important, and you can't do without them. I mean, and there's nothing, it's not a small thing at all. I think God's expecting for us to work together, as we read about in 1 Corinthians 12. And, you know, I'm not an ear, you're not an eye, and you're not a nose. But there's a role that each of us can play. And being a supporting character, a supporting actor, you know, that's a good place to start, you know, your journey to understand, you know, what the specific task is God has prepared for you. And remember, you know, James, you know, 1:22, that goes out to us all as well. You know, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of God's word. That's for everybody. And I definitely want to, again, thank our leaders who have answered that call, you know, from the door greeters, you know, the buildings and grounds people, you know, all of the different ministries that we have here at the church. You know, people are preparing and coordinating and facilitating this for all of us. You know, I just definitely want to thank you for your service, you know, to the church, you know, to the community at large, you know, and to the Lord. I mean, I think it should be acknowledged and applauded. And, you know, again, it can't be understated. The stuff that I didn't know was going on that goes into this, People saying, "Hey, I need this from you. I need that from you, so we can post it and get it ready." I mean, this is going on all week long behind the scenes, and people are taking the time out of their day to do this, to make this a success for us. And again, I want to say a very, very big thank you to those people. Now, I think it's time to give them some help. I mean, I don't think there's anything, wrong, obviously, with what's going on and the people that are working hard. But, it's up to us to help them, and it's also up to those individual leaders to find some help. You think about the story again in Exodus chapter 17 with Moses. All he had been through to get to that point, to the battle with the Amalekites. I mean, Moses had fled his home, got married, had some children, returned home, delivered the people out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, and all along he was dealing with the continued, complaining and unhappiness of the very people he was trying to help. And that may or may not resonate with, some of these ministry leaders in here right now, but, a lot of the times it's not the work that makes the work hard, it's the people. And that's us. And the people that you're trying to help, the people that you're trying to serve, sometimes that makes it, a lot harder. And just like Moses, we all have other things going on. We're all either parents or you're someone's child, you're a spouse, husband or wife. You might be a employer or employee. All those things have, specific duties that you are supposed to uphold. And especially when you look in the Bible as a Christian, I mean, there are things that you're supposed to do in all those relationships and all those roles. You could be, a neighbor, a friend, a pet owner, a homeowner, and you're a ministry leader. And that's a lot of work. That is a lot of work. I even, I've talked to some retirees, and they tell me that being retired is even more work than when they were having a job. Now, I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't experienced that at all yet. I'm looking forward to it, but from what I can tell, it involves a lot of vacation, so I think I'm probably ready for that. But either way, whatever state in life you're in, there is a lot going on. And, it can't be understated that, how busy we are. And I think, the wisdom of Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, in the very next chapter, that lets us know that somebody's watching and he was trying to help. And I don't know if any of our ministry leaders here would be willing to listen to this type of advice. But, after the battle with the Amalekites, Moses went on to his normal duties, which was judging over the people. And he sat there, from morning to the evening as a judge, as one man by himself. And the advice that his father-in-law gave him was, "What you're doing is not good." And I'm reading in Exodus 18. Verse 17, "What you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone." Down in verse 21, "Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens." Jethro's advice to Moses was to get some help. And not just any help, but, faithful men. Men who fear God. And my encouragement to the church leaders today, the ones that are busy and hard at work, is that Hebrews 10:24, I believe this verse is for you. Who better to motivate and provoke and spur someone on to good deeds than you? And some of us do need to be provoked. Some of us are just waiting for that tap on the shoulder. And of course it went out in the announcements and it was in the bulletin and there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. That's all very true. But some people just, need to get tapped on the shoulder. I mean, and that stuff is actually easy to ignore because I've done it. I know that there's a need out there, and I don't know if you remember or have heard this before. I attributed to Brother Green over there at English Street, and I looked it up and saw that it was an actual poem. But that's poem of everybody, anybody, somebody, and nobody. I don't know if you guys ever heard that, how the message and the request went out to everybody, and everybody knew that anybody could do it, and anybody assumed that somebody could do it, and who ended up doing it? Nobody did it. So those were, and it's clear. We know, you know, we can all see what's going on. We all see who's working and, you know, who's pulling the sled. But, you know, I think our ministry leaders, those guys who are already involved, I think they are uniquely qualified to provoke. And that is a responsibility that we do have as Christians to each other, and obviously to the Lord as well, but to each other. So, and that advice of Jethro, you know, just get some help. You know, you don't have to carry this load all on your own. And there are certainly some capable men and women in here that can help and may just be waiting for that tap on the shoulder. It's again, that eyeball-to-eyeball conversation is something else. You know, it's easy to, again, hear Brian and Landon say, hey, you know, we need this from you guys. And then when the time comes, you get that tap on the shoulder and Brian's standing there. That response is a little bit different. I mean, it's hard to avoid that, and that's what some of us need. And you know, good or bad, you know, we're here for each other. Again, I'm not the eye, I'm not the ear, but you know, I have a part to do, and you know, as a leader, you have a part to do as well, which is encouraging others, provoking others, and bringing us along. Sometimes kicking and screaming, perhaps, but that too will help grow and develop the individual who's, you know, not as involved to get more involved and see where they can help and help you get some rest. Which I don't know if that's a controversial idea or not, the idea that our leaders can rest. I'm not saying quit, but the idea of getting some rest, I mean, I think it's all through the Bible. You know, you read in Genesis chapter 1, the first great work that happened was creation. And on the seventh day, he rested. He didn't quit. Thank God he didn't quit. But he did rest on the seventh day. You know, one story that I found very interesting when thinking about that was over here in Mark. You know, and we all know when Jesus was instituting his ministry, he was going around and teaching and preaching, and the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. And he chose 12 people to help him get the work done. And of those 12, he sent out and gave them the power to cast out demons, to preach repentance, to heal the sick. And they went on their way. The harvest being plentiful and the workers being few. I think the Bible even says he sent them out two by two. So it was six different groups of people going their way. And I found it interesting in Mark chapter 6 that when they returned, this is what the Bible says happens. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. And I would imagine it was a pretty interesting conversation. And the people were, those guys had to be very excited. Verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going, and they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The harvest was still plentiful, the workers were still few, and they were still coming. And Jesus encouraged them to come with him to a quiet place and get some rest. I think I don't think it can be understated that we all need to get some rest. Like we talked about Moses and what he had going on. We have the same stuff going on, man. We need to find a way, you know, to get some rest. And there's an even better example that I found in the Old Testament, you know, 1 Kings 19 with Elijah. You know, after, you know, Elijah was a prophet, one of the few that was left. Jezebel had decided that she wanted to get rid of him all, and he was one of the last ones remaining other than ones that were hid. And you know, so he was on the run. Jezebel was promising to kill him, and you know, while he was on the run, Elijah, you know, asked for the Lord to take his life because he had had enough. He was tired, he was done, he had worked as hard as he felt like he could work. He had been on the run, and God's response to that was he brought Elijah to a cave in the mountains, and in a gentle voice gave him instructions on what he should do next, including anointing his successor, Elisha. to come after him as prophet. And my question to the leaders is, if you don't take a break, if you don't find that quiet place, will you hear the gentle whisper of the Lord to tell you what's next? We're busy people. There's no doubt about it. Again, it can't be understated. But maybe whatever ministry you're in right now, maybe that's not it for you. Maybe there's more. Maybe there is something next. Will you be able to hear that gentle whisper from the Lord if you are not entombed, sitting somewhere quietly, whether it be a cave or sitting on your back porch or whatever, but you have to take a break. And the Lord is trying to speak to us for sure, but will you hear it if you don't take a break and listen? So I think I'm doing good with my time, and I'm going to go ahead and start wrapping it up. So the last thing that I wanted to talk about anyway is the reward. And I don't think that can be understated. I mean, again, we talk about rewards a lot, as in heaven, which is a beautiful thing. And nobody wants to say that that's not something they're looking forward to. But being here, you know, right now with you guys, this fellowship is a reward. And I don't think that can be understated at all. And I can only speak for myself and my experiences here. I mean, I've had questions of a medical nature that I needed some answers to, and I knew a guy that I could call, and he talked me through it and told me what some of those big words meant and how important it was, and it made all the difference in the world. And I love him, and I appreciate him for that. I've been on my job, and they gave me some new responsibilities where I needed to read and understand a profit and loss statement, and I think I stopped at Algebra 2 in high school. So, but there is a guy that I could call, and we went to lunch, and we whipped it out, and he told me what I needed to know, and I went back to work with my chest puffed up a little bit, ready to answer any questions. You know, so I mean, there's so much. You know, we got a brother here that could teach you how to play an instrument. We talked plenty with my brother over there. If I wanted he actually gifted me a staff, maybe similar to what Moses had. If I want to learn how to woodwork, I know where I can go and, you know, who I can talk to. I've tried to take up bike riding at one point and had a brother, you know, I come in here and I'm excited saying, man, I rode, you know, 10 miles over the weekend, and he let me know that he did 100. So I need to just calm down. And, you know, so I can get some pointers from him. I'm not going to ride with him, but I can get some pointers from him of how that works. I mean, you know, so much fellowship. I mean, Super Bowl parties with some of my brothers and sisters here. I mean, you know, the World Cup just left, and I'm not a European football guy, but I did learn what offsides is. And it was from, you know, a brother here who not only taught me about the game, but took me to one of the games. And, you know, just can't be understated, man. I learned this morning that one of our young people think they want to be a pilot, and we just happen to have a guy who can teach you how to fly a plane in here. You know, it's so much to be had in the fellowship. I think we have some pretty good huggers in here. If you're feeling bad one day and you need a hug, I mean, I think the huggers on the left side might be a little bit stronger than the huggers on the right side. So we might need to think about that, guys. We step it up. But, you know, it's so much here, man. I mean, again, at work, I've run into a situation. I work in construction. There was a problem that I didn't quite understand. We have a civil engineer here that I could call on and ask him a question. And he's more than happy to tell you the answer. Even if you don't ask the question, I think this guy would be more than happy to tell you the answer. But he's, you know, all the resources we have, man, I think I can't understate the fellowship that's available. Now, again, you have to, you know, everybody has a part to play. You have to make yourself available. I've been told that I don't look inviting, but I feel like when you get to know me, you know, I'm a pretty cool guy. We can talk, we can cut up, we can crack jokes, whatever, but, you know, but you have to take this first step. And if I'm taking the first step and you're taking the first step, surely we'll meet somewhere and we'll be able to grow that fellowship that, again, can't be understated, and is one of the most beautiful things about, you know, being a member of the church. You know, like the Bible says, you know, two or more together, God is in the mix, and, you know, the reward is greater. it's just so many verses that we could keep going on about fellowship, and that's one of the things that I know that I've been enjoying here at Friendly. Just as a Christian in general, you know, that joy that you have, and we teach our kids that song, you have the joy down in your heart, and for whatever reason, Chad never sings it to us. But that's something that we absolutely, you know, that joy, not happiness that comes from things that happen or whatever, but, you know, being in faithfully working out your soul salvation with some people that you know are doing the same thing. I mean, that should bring you some joy, and it doesn't matter what happened. You know, good and bad things do happen, but that joy should never leave. The peace that passes all understanding. I don't know, is anybody experiencing that? That's a beautiful, I mean, how can you get it outside of this? I don't think you can. The peace that passes all understanding, that comes from being a faithfully member of the Lord's church, watching him work, knowing that God is in control, and that should bring you peace. And the one that I know that we all have, that patience that has grown and learned by watching God do his thing, you know, over and over again. You know, a song my mom hears sing all the time, he's blessing me over and over and over again. It gets sweeter and sweeter as the day goes by. If you're not experiencing that as a Christian, then I think you're missing out. But that's one of those are the rewards, some of the rewards. And there's plenty of more that we could talk about. But those are certainly some of the wars that we can have. In heaven again, you know, looking forward to it. I can't wait to see you there. There's some people that have gone on before me that if I don't see them on that side, then I'm gonna know I'm in the wrong place. Because there's some really good people that I know are up there and they're looking down. And I'm hoping that, you know, not only the Lord is proud and happy with what I'm doing, but I think about those people as well, you know, from time to time. And you know, hope that they are proud and happy with what I'm doing as well. So that's what I have this morning, church. I really appreciate you and thank you for the time. And I would absolutely be remiss if I did not mention that we have a baptismal pool in this building. And if you have not obeyed the gospel, you can do so today. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. And I think there will be a lot of celebration and joy and pride and happiness in this building if you do. So I want you to consider that. Chad, I haven't done this before, but I guess it's you're up, and the elders will meet you in the back if you have any prayer requests. Thank you all for your time and your attention.